I'm glad we sang that song about chains being broken. Isn't that a great old hymn? Hundreds of years old, and it's like fresh, relevant, alive. Well done choosing that one today. And as they said, it was one of Aqua's favourite. Apparently, she had a lot of favourite songs, I found out during the last few weeks. And I believe God does want to break some chains today in people's hearts and lives. There's a beautiful word it's translated saved or salvation. Zozo is the Greek word, but it means not only salvation, but healing and deliverance. And sometimes we only give part of the gospel. We want to give the full gospel in this church, don't we? We want people not only to be saved and healed, but also delivered. So let chains in your life be broken as the word goes forward today. But one thing I got in particular was OCD. What does that stand for? Go on. Obsessive compulsive behavior. I always wondered what that meant. Well, sorry?
Disorder.
Oh, disorder. OCD. Yeah, disorder. Disorder. Well done, Mum. I don't know whether you got it or not, but sometimes we can have something like that, that our lives are really ordered, they're really spot on. Everything's clean and tidy, everything's in its place. But spiritually, it's not like that. Maybe it's just one person, I don't know. Spiritually, it's not. You've not got spiritual OCD in a good way, where things are in order in your life. You see, there's chaos. I'm just sort of hearing chaos. And chaos causes confusion. God wants to put order in your life. It says to the church, when we gather like this, let everything be done decently and in order. And that should be so for our minds as well, shouldn't it? And if you've not asked for forgiveness, ask for forgiveness. It's free. The Lord's breaking chains today, chains of poverty, chains of ill health, where you've been bound by ill health. And I believe God is wanting to do something deep and fresh and real in your heart and life today. And it's all because, and I'll start my clock now, it's all because God loves you. And I want to bring this message to you from Jeremiah 31, verse 3. It's beautiful. I'll just turn to it. I'm reading from the NLT. It just happens to be on that. Jeremiah 31. I've not had a chance this week. Been a bit of a busy week to do a PowerPoint, so apologies about that. But Jeremiah 31, it says, in that day, this is hope. Jeremiah, he had a lot of negative things to say about the coming judgment and the awful wars and carrying away of Israel. But he had some amazing things to say. That's the whole point of the Bible. It tells you the bad stuff and leads you to the good stuff. And this was the hope for restoration. And this is how we know it. In that day, says the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel. And I want to say, in this day, God is saying, I will be the God of the family that is my church. And they will be my people. This is what the Lord says. Those who survive the coming destruction will find blessings even in the barren land. For I will give rest to the people of Israel. Let's receive something from the Lord as a corporate body. We've had a tough time in recent times, in recent weeks. Long ago, the Lord said to Israel, listen to this, long ago. So it's been established. It's long ago. It's not just made it up. It's not just something that happened as we came to church today. Long ago, the Lord said to Israel, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. With unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. Is anybody blessed by that this morning? And the title of my talk today is Secure in God's Love. Secure in the love of God. Are you secure in His love? The Lord wants to enlarge our individual lives And one of the ways he does it is by making us secure in him, because then we're not worried about other things. We're not thinking he doesn't care for us anymore. We're not worried about whether we're going to make ends meet. We know God is for us. And when we're enlarged as individuals, the corporate body of Christ is enlarged, because we're released from the burdens of this world, and we're gifted with the burden that is easy, the yoke that is light. And then the harvest of enlargement comes because we are then free, and people observe how we handle life, and they will see how much Jesus cares for us, or they'll see what Jesus has done for us, especially when we tell them what Jesus has done. So I'll read that verse again. The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. To understand the Old Testament, we always need to draw it through the cross when Jesus died, and through what Jesus did, and then get our interpretation of the Old Testament, of this kind of verse, and Jeremiah in particular. We need, well, the whole of the Old Testament, we need the apostles of the New Testament to help us to understand what they were saying there. So never just take the Old Testament at face value, bring it through the cross and look at it through the eyes and the focus and the lens of the apostles. So 2 Timothy 1 verse 8 helps me here. 2 Timothy 1 verse 8. So never be ashamed, and to verse 10. So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. Have you told others about our Lord this week? And don't be ashamed of me either, even though I am in prison for him. With the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan from before the beginning of time, to show us his grace through Christ Jesus. And now he has made all of this plan, all of this plain to us by the appearing of Christ Jesus, our Savior. He broke the power of death and illuminated the way to life and immortality through the good news. The Lord loves his word, and we love his word. We thank him for it, don't we? So, an introduction. It's one of the main strategies of our enemy to stop God's people from being secure in God's love. Some of his most poisonous darts are aimed at undermining God's word. Let me just stop there for a moment and give an advert. In our home groups this week, we're looking at why we believe in the Bible, why we believe it's God's manual for life. So get to the home groups and be established in your understanding of the Word of God over the next few months as we look at the fundamental truths. Got to be careful with that word fundamental these days, but we do have fundamental truths. We do have basic scriptures and doctrines that we believe as a church. And they're on the website of Assemblies of God. The statement of faith is there. So let's know what we believe. Let's not just hear about it. Let's not just have nice sermons on Sunday. Let's have some Bible study where we go a bit deeper during the week. Okay. So the enemy aims most of his poisonous darts at undermining God's word. This morning, let me get us back to scriptural foundations. As Jeremiah spoke to Israel, he reminded them of their strong foundations. So let us revel this morning. Revel what in? In God's love and God's word, which is awesome. The awareness of God's love, the assurance of God's love is seen in these words. The advantage of God's love, and even the abundance of God's love. It just four thoughts on this particular passage. The awareness of God's love. He says, I have loved you. Have you got it? If you didn't get it beforehand, get it now. I have loved you, church. I have loved you, Israel. I have loved you. The person, I. The person is God. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him, if you believe in him, you will not perish, but have everlasting life. Wonderful. So God loves you. What is God like? Well, the Bible tells me he doesn't just love me. It tells me that he is love. God is love. I love those words in 1 John. God is love. God is light. And his love and his light are flowing into this gathering today. Receive the streams of his love flowing into your heart. If you feel that nobody in the world loves you, let me tell you, someone loves you. And his name is Jesus. He loves you with an everlasting love. He is awesome. Positive. We see the person. Now we see something very positive. Positivity. People are into positive thinking, aren't they, these days? Positive psychology is the latest watchword that my wife was watching this morning on breakfast television. I don't do breakfast television, but positive psychology. And it's the psychology of happiness. Friends, the psychology of happiness will not cause you to remain content and joyful for the rest of your life. Although the woman who was teaching it says she suffered depression in her 30s, she's in her 50s now, she's not had depression since she understood positive psychology. So I'm not knocking it, but God was there before the psychologists found this out. Hallelujah. There is joy in serving Jesus. There is joy in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. So the desire of the Lord, what's the desire of the Lord for you today? It's for you to be aware of his love. It's for you to be aware of his love life, of his experience of love for you. He's not pointing the finger. He's not condemning you today. He is not judging you. That's going to happen later. He's going to judge the world in righteousness, the church and the world. But listen, today is not the day of judgment. It's the day of grace. It's the day of his love flowing into your heart. And let me tell you this, that it is no secret. Wasn't that choir beautiful? As they were, our band did brilliant, but that choir, as they just started, they started in there in the foyer. I told them to. I said, start now. And they're singing softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, oh sinner, come home. Mum and Dad were there in my thoughts immediately. We're now with Jesus. Aqua was in my thought. Oh, and the tears began. I thought, this is not good. I'm just about to start the service. But God, help me and thank you for your prayers. And if you pray as much for me on funeral services as you do on Sunday morning, we might get some mighty anointing. If we have anointed singing in this church, there will be an anointed prophet in the pulpit, because that's how God works. Through the anointing, oil is put in his church. Wonderful. So he wants to grant you a knowledge of the warmth of his love, the compassion that's in his heart. He says, I have. He has. Yes, yes, yes. No ifs, no buts, no maybes. I have. I have, it says in that word. What has he done? He says, I have loved. Passion. The Lord is affectionate toward you. He is. I remember Paul Newbery was a pastor. He was one of my mentors with Alan Hewitt and other pastors in our region in Assemblies of God in those days. Wonderful men of God. Thank you for them. Blessed. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing. Paul's with the Lord now. But he used the term, I am head over heels in love with Jesus. And I love saying that, don't you? I am head over heels. I'm head over heels in love with Carol, which she's gone out of the room, so she doesn't know this. I'll have to tell her later. But I am head over heels in love with Jesus. But more than that, God is head over heels in love with you. He's passionate about you. He loves you so, so much. He says, I have loved. The Lord is so affectionate. He's so passionate. There's healing. There's health in his heart for you today. His love flows into your life. He wants you to be intimately related to him. But it's at your invitation. He'll give you as much as you want of him. And it's an infinite love. So come on. We've not exhausted it yet. Okay? If it's infinite love, friends, we need to take some more. We need to drink some more. We need to be passionate. We to be pursuing holiness. We need to be pursuing his lifestyle. We're pursuing his love, receiving it. Because the world out there is desperate, friends, for us to share this love. They don't know it yet, but we've got the answer to their need. And his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. So his love is so strong. He's jealous over you with a holy jealousy. He is holy. He's almighty. He's the everlasting Father. He desires the pleasure of your company. I was thrilled years ago when I first came to Rochdale. I got an invitation from the mayor, not the Lord Mayor, the mayor of Rochdale, to a tea party, or garden tea something. I don't know whatever they called it. But Carol and I went. But before we got there, we'd received a letter, and it said RSVP. So we responded, s'il vous plaît, and we got there, and we enjoyed being with the mayor and other dignitaries at that time representing Hebron. And God wants you to know that there is an RSVP at the bottom of the Bible. Responde, s'il vous plaît, come on, respond to this message, this invitation from the Lord, who is your God. And so this leads me on to the second thought in this verse, the assurance of God's love. I have loved you. And we see his desire is to overwhelm you with the knowledge of his love. When were you last overwhelmed? So overwhelmed you couldn't speak words. You were so overwhelmed in the presence of love that, you see, when you're in love with someone, you don't always need to talk. Some people talk too much. Just be in the presence. Enjoy the presence of his company because he loves you. But he doesn't want to consume you. The Lord appeared to you in the past. Some need to be reminded of that God allows us to wander, allows us to return. Paul writes in 2 Timothy 1 verse 8, who has saved us? Let me just read the first bit again. So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. Who have you been telling? Because when you're in love with someone, you want to tell people about it, don't you? You're proud of that person that you love. Well, I'm proud of Jesus this morning, and I will not shut up no matter what the enemy tries to do to me. I will not stop telling people about the love that Jesus has for me. I was accosted the other day by two prison officers. I said it wrong then. I wanted to throw a joke in there. I've lost it now. But anyway, one officer looked like a gentleman, he's a new man, two new men on the block, and the other, he's like got a head with no hair, but it's full of tattoos. Yeah, it's true, honestly, Adam. And not only has he got that, he's got pins. You know those pins you stick in a board, a world map, and you have those round black bauble type pins. Well, he's got them all over his face, up his nose, everywhere. I thought he was a prisoner dressed up, to be honest, as an officer. But that's not the case. He is an officer. But you know what he said to me? He said, David, I have a badge. It says, David, just in case I get lost in the prison, they know where to send me. It says, David, court chaplain. And he said, are the chaplains here for the staff as well as the prisoners? I said, Sam, that is the best question I've ever been asked in this prison. I've been there 20 years next month. Best present, best gift. I said, yes, the PSI, the prison service instruction, tells us that we are chaplains to the staff and to the prisoners. Staff mentioned first. But on the inductions, they don't make that known to them. So I made it known to this man. Well, for the next 20 minutes, these two guys were listening. They were asking me questions. I was sharing the gospel with them. They've not been trained yet, so they might never come back. They might not be good enough. They might think he's got too many pins in his head. But I don't know. No, he will be okay for that. They won't be prejudiced against pins and tattoos. But these guys, they were just so open. And I said, yeah, feel free to use the chaplain. Come and have a coffee. I serve the best coffee in the prison, best biscuits. Come along. That's what I say to the prisoners. And now I'm saying it to the staff. And lo and behold, that afternoon, Aaron, the other guy, the other officer, is the son-in-law of a Free Church chaplain in Garth prison. So isn't that great how God does something and brings people into your life? And about that conversation happened at 11:30, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. There's Aaron in the chapel, sat at a desk, reading his Bible. Wonderful. Isn't that beautiful? So pray for Sam. Pray for Aaron. I can't tell you the names of the prisoners. I've been witnessing to them, but pray for those two in particular. It says in God's word, so never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. And don't be ashamed of me either, because I'm in prison working for him tomorrow. With the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. Wow, God is helping us. The power of God, who? No one can meet your needs like Jesus. Jesus is the meter of needs. I know that's poor English, but it's true, isn't it? He meets every need. Every need you've got is bigger than your need. He's greater than your issue. But it doesn't want his assurance, friends, is absolute. God is the creator. He's concerned about you. So it's time you concerned yourself about him, because he loves you with an everlasting love. It's positive. Who has loved you, it says? Who has saved you? And it's something he's done already. It's past, isn't it? Remember what I read earlier on? The Lord appeared to us in the past. He has already appeared. So who has loved you, saved you? And he's already done something. Too many have not got this full understanding of the work of grace in their lives. And you need to get a hold of this. Get a hold of grace. It's not a thing that comes and goes with the weather. It's going to be raining next week. You know, it's going to be miserable. There's going to be storms coming. Hallelujah. I'm not a prophet. I'm just telling you. That's how it is in Rochdale. But listen. Even in the storms, he's there. He's loving you. People think he's forgotten them. No, he's not forgotten you. Too many are not understanding this. Can we fully understand the infinite grace he's shown to us? Well, no, but we can get a better grasp of it to help us through the day, to help us through our miserable experiences. Past tense, something he's already done. It's not going to be done. You see, it wasn't a half-bob job on the cross. He fully finished the work he came to do at Calvary. It wasn't half finished and you have to do the other half. You know what I'm saying? It's complete. Jesus said on the cross, it is, say it with me, finished. So if it's finished, why are we getting annoyed with ourselves that we're not brilliant at living this Christian life? God knew we'd be like that before he saved us. Do you think he's going to throw us out just because we've let him down 5 million times? He loves you with an everlasting love. He saved you. Christian assurance is present assurance of a great present possession. We sang it at the funeral. We may sing it today. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. And then he preserves us. Who has saved us? He didn't preserve us like eggs in a vinegar bottle. So, you know, you've seen boiled eggs. People actually put boiled eggs in vinegar to preserve them so they can have them when they wish. It was one of Alan Hewitt's weaknesses. He used to preserve his boiled eggs in a vinegar jar. Why? Why would you do that? You put onions in. We're not like pickles or eggs in vinegar, friends. Although looking at some Christians' faces, not here, of course, today. But we are like fish in a river. Hallelujah. Fish in a river. You see, the Hebrew and the Greek words for salvation implies the idea of deliverance, of safety, of preservation, of healing and soundness. Salvation is the great inclusive message of the gospel. It's not the A, B, and C of the gospel. We move to deeper things. It's the A to Z. The gospel is the A to Z of the rest of our lives. I'm still preaching the gospel. I'm more into the gospel now than when I was younger. Hallelujah. You grow into the gospel, don't you? We grow into this wonderful truth, this great message of life. And with people, who has saved us? It didn't come for angels. It didn't come for robots. Although I think there might be some help there. But it came for Paul's. It came for Timothy's. It came for all the others who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. How could they have survived in prison and in chains without him? Oh, praise God for the message that they had is what we have today. He exchanged evil for good. His goodness into our hearts where we want evil. He took our evil upon himself at that cross, and now we live in the righteousness of him. It's by faith. It's not your praying. It's not even you saying sorry for your sins that saves you. It's not you. It's not about you. God saved you. God saves you. He's saving you. He will save you ultimately. Thirdly, the advantage of God's love. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Just a bit more technical here. Just bear with me. A little bit deeper. But in these words, Jeremiah gives us a glimpse of the new covenant. Say new covenant. Let's say it together. New covenant. The high point of Jeremiah's prophecies. It's a hard book to read sometimes, isn't it? But, oh, this is a high point here. These verses reveal God's heart for his people, Israel. It makes three primary declarations that will be helpful to you today so that you are secure in his love. These declarations were about the new covenant that was coming hundreds of years after he spoke this prophecy. Number one, he will put his law in the people's minds. Number two, he said, I will be their God and they shall be my people. And number three, he will forgive his people's sins. Is that a great covenant? That's the new covenant for you today. He will put his law in his people's minds. His law will be internal rather than external. Not written on stones, but written on the heart. And Jesus exemplified this, didn't he? When Jesus came, it was different. It was the embodiment of God's love on earth for us and for all to see. Oh, yes, he imparts this truth into our very lives. God's new covenant would give his people the inner ability to obey standards of righteousness and thereby enjoy life instead of being miserable. Our divine psychologist says you can be joyful in every circumstance, his blessing in every situation. Even in this time of mourning as a church and the funeral on Friday, there was joy. Did you sense it? There was joy, everlasting joy. There was love and peace, even though we were broken. The prophet Ezekiel explains that this would result from God's gift of the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers. If you're writing note 36, Ezekiel 36, 24 to 32, not time to read it. So under the new covenant, God's Holy Spirit would actually dwell within each believer. Jeremiah 2, 28 to 32. He will put his law in their minds. He said, I will be their God and they shall be my people. That simply continues the relationship with them that he'd already established. In other words, the new covenant wasn't going to replace the old covenant, but it was going to fulfill it. Jesus said, I've not come to do away with the law, I've come to fulfill it. And he did. Hallelujah. And because he did, in Jesus and through the Holy Spirit, we can live the kind of life and show the kind of love that Jesus lived and loved on earth. And he will forgive his people's sins. How good is that? Because Israel had sinned, they received God's curse. But as part of the new covenant, and we sang it in one of our songs this morning, God will forgive and God will forget. So let whatever the enemy's trying to put on you be like water off a duck's back. The end of the Old Testament ends with a curse, but the end of the New Testament ends with a blessing. Life forevermore, friends. Let us know, because Israel had sinned, they had received God's curse. But as part of his new covenant, God forgives and forgets. How can a holy God ignore sin? He can't. But it is not that the sin is overlooked. It's that it is paid for by a substitute. Hallelujah. A substitute, a precious Lamb of God, a spotless, perfect Lamb, whom we know to be Jesus Christ. What an advantage then, friends, to be loved with an everlasting love. And if you've never received this love, today's the day to open up your heart and receive his love. But never treat lightly or take it for granted or give this truth away. Let it be sealed in your heart today that God loves you with an everlasting love. It's an eternal covenant. It's the promise of God to you. So why should you think he doesn't love you anymore because of what you've done? Because how you've been, how you've behaved. He loves you. He loves you enough to tell you and convict you, but he loves you enough to forgive you. He's wonderful. Friends, wonder of all wonders, miracle of all miracles, message of all messages. When people speak, we take it with a pinch of salt. When God speaks, every word is a stone in the foundation wall of our lives. It builds our lives. The Ten Commandments. Get into the Ten Commandments. Look at the two commandments. That you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. And you should love your neighbor as you love yourself. Let's do some of that this week. Let's receive this infinite love into our hearts. And you know, you think you're not having any impact. I bet Aqua would never have realized what an impact she'd made on so hundreds and hundreds of lives, if not thousands. This place was packed. The foyer was packed. That was packed. The car park was packed. The night before, there was supposed to be 300 there. There's 350. And outside, there was another 100 people trying to get in, really trying to get in. But that's another story. She was loved, wasn't she? And she allowed that love to flow and influence so many others in her life. God gave him promise, and God gave the promise, and it still stands. Number four, the abundance of God's love. I have drawn you with my loving kindness. Picking, plan, and predestination is found in this, in these words. The picking of all the people, of all the people he could have loved. He chose to love Israel. Why did he love Israel? Because he chose to love Israel. Why does he love his church? Why does he love you this morning? Because he chose to love you. And you can't do anything about that. You can't turn his love off. It's just there all the time, this everlasting love. He has drawn you. Oh, so develop that walk with the Lord. Walk tall. Walk straight. Yeah, there's a song there, isn't there? But let us walk tall as God's people. Let's be proud that we know Jesus as our Savior, our best friend, our companion, and the Son of the living God. Let his promises still stand. Let's develop our walk with him and walk tall. It's not about God, but it's to know God. It's his care. It's not just a theological knowledge. It's an influence of God on our lives that is transformational. Plan. The picking, he had a plan. According to his purpose and grace, salvation is not based on our accomplishments, but on God's sovereign purpose. Get a life. Stop thinking about yourself. Stop worrying about whether you're right or not. God is right. God is righteous. God loves you. Grace is something given. Loving kindness, you look into the definition of this. Loving kindness means he has drawn us with his loving kindness. Look at this, with beauty. And we see beautiful people in this church. Why? Because God has drawn them with his beauty. And it's reflected in their lives. Favor. Oh, there's another sermon, isn't there? I'm not going to preach it. Favor. Good deeds. We're not saved by good deeds, but God's good deeds come into our life. And guess what? We do good deeds that please him and honor him and make us look like Jesus. Goodliness, mercy, pity, loving kindness draws us out of and into. Out of and along with him. And he carries us. It's like a magnet, isn't it, the Lord? He draws us to himself. We didn't choose him. He chose us. You are here because he put something within you to come to his house. You are here because he put faith in you. He gave you a gift of eternal life. God and his great work of love. He saves us from destruction. He draws us out of the world into his outstretched arms, as the baby was in the outstretched arms. As a baby is in outstretched arms today. So we are babies in the outstretched arms of our God. Hallelujah. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in a time of trouble. His arms are everlasting. And have you received the embrace? Go away knowing that you're cuddled to bits by the God of heaven who loves you so much. Paul says, nothing can separate us from the love of God. When I got married, it was the bride. She was the center of attention, dressed in white with a thing on her head and what have you. And she said, oh, when I saw her, wow, my legs melted. I thought, wow, what a beauty. You should see the wedding photographs, not of me, of her. Beautiful. And she's still the same today. I just have that same attraction. But you know, in the church, it's the other way around. It's the bridegroom who's attractive. It's the bridegroom who looks beautiful. It's the bridegroom who comes for us. It's the bridegroom that we're drawn to. And he's drawn us unto himself to see his beauty, his holiness, his love. Calvary was not a rescue mission, friends. It wasn't plan B because plan A went wrong and God thought, oh dear, what's happening here? But before time began, Christ was crucified. Do you know that? That's what the Bible says. It was in God's heart, in God's mind, to save us when we were foul. And so God's plan didn't fail. Oh, let us know that he's taken us out of the mire and the mud of this world and put us on solid rock for all eternity. And lastly, we see predestination, which was given in Christ before the world began. That is in purpose, God's purpose. In design, God's design. God from all eternity in Christ marked us out before time. Why should I feel insecure if that before Adam was born, I was in God's heart? I was on God's mind. He came to rescue me and save me forever and ever. Oh, time, like an ever-flowing river rolling on, streams on, flows on and on. That's God's love, friends. But before it began, before it even began, we were already included in the glorious promise and purpose of God. Enjoy the magnitude of this magnetism that he has loved you with an everlasting love and has drawn you with his loving kindnesses. God bless you. Be secure in his love.